The church is a brand new race made up of people from every kindred and tribe, united together by the Holy Spirit.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear the second of Pastor Brian Grant's message series on the Holy Spirit. In his first message, Pastor Grant asked the question, "What happens when I'm all in for Jesus?" And he took us to God's Word to show how big changes occur in the life of the believer when the Holy Spirit is in control. Now, in his second message in the series, Pastor Grant will take us further into the Scriptures to discover how the Holy Spirit works to bring an individual to saving faith in Christ and what it is that he accomplishes on behalf of that new believer at the moment of his or her conversion. So again, if you have your Bibles, we invite you to follow along with the various references Pastor Grant will cite in this message entitled The Work of the Holy Spirit, Part 1. Here with us now is Pastor Grant.
Several years ago, a group of us visited Marbella in Spain. It's right on the Mediterranean Sea. And some of us arrived earlier, and the rest of the group decided they were going to fly into Madrid, and then they would rent cars and drive to Marbella. And that's only about a six-hour drive. So when we checked to confirm that their flight had arrived on time. And at about 9 p.m., because we gave them enough time to get back to the timeshare, we were sharing this big timeshare. At 9 p.m., we rushed back to the timeshare to greet all our relatives and friends who will remain nameless. We rushed back to the timeshare to meet them. You know, we waited and waited. 9 o'clock, they had not arrived. 10, 11, 12. Finally, at 1 a.m., we decided we better go to bed. So we went to bed. The next morning, we woke up. We discovered that the six-hour drive had taken them 14 hours. You see, they had gotten a map in Spanish. And somehow, they took the wrong route. Now, navigation systems were brand new at the time, and my car had a navigation system. So, unfortunately, I decided to be a little boastful, and I said to them when it was time to go back to Madrid, because we were flying back from Madrid, I said to everybody, "You don't worry, I got navigation. All you got to do is follow me." Of course, I didn't realize that navigation systems back then, there were a lot of zones that were not in the system. There was stuff that was outside the coverage area. And some of you know that your pastor loves to chat. So here I was having such a wonderful conversation while we were driving along. We left the map zone. We were now not on the system. None of us realized we were out of the zone. And here we were chatting away, until finally I said to those in my car, "We're lost." So guess what I did? I didn't turn around. I could not let those cars following me know that after all that boasting, we were lost. So I know some of you are going to say, "We better not go nowhere with Brother Grant after this, because we might be lost and not even know it." So I started praying, "God, deliver me now." About 15 minutes later, we came across a gas station, and I figured deliverance had come. Of course, when I went in, I found out nobody spoke a word of English. So I pulled up at a gas pump, pretending like I really needed gas. I went inside like I needed to use the bathroom, but hidden in my coat pocket, in my pants pocket, was a map. Concealed map. And I went in with my map. Thank Jesus it was in English. Went in to speak to all these people who didn't know any English, only knew Spanish, and through all my sign language, you thought I didn't know any sign language, I somehow was able to describe to them that I'm trying to find out where we are right now on this map. Somebody put his finger where we were. And once his finger hit where we were, Brother Grant didn't need any navigation system. Amen. I am so glad the Holy Spirit is not limited to a coverage area. Amen. I'm so glad he knows every turn our life will take. I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit knows every problem we'll ever face. And I'm glad that he's willing to lead and guide our lives. Amen. But the Holy Spirit is much more than a guide. And so today and next week, I want to speak on the theme, the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, don't make any mistakes. This is not an exhaustive study. In fact, today I intended to share 4 points with you, and I've had to cut it down to 3 because of time, but I'll give you a brota and allow you to write in the 4th one yourself. But this is by no means exhaustive. But today I want to cover the Spirit's work at salvation. Next week, we want to talk about the Spirit's work after salvation. But today, all we're talking about is the Holy Spirit's work at salvation. Number one, the Holy Spirit regenerated us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 3 reads as follows. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord, what? Except by the Holy Spirit. None of us would have acknowledged Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord were it not for the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit regenerated us. That's a big word. The Holy Spirit regenerated us. What does that big word regenerated mean? Regeneration means rebirth. Regeneration means to be born again. A key verse, Titus chapter 3, verse number 5, and we'll show it for you. God saved us not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he, what? Saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. At salvation, we received the washing of regeneration. Amen. We were reborn. Number one, let me share with you 2 things about regeneration. Regeneration, I don't want you to miss this. Regeneration gave us a new nature. Regeneration gave us a new nature. Cats love to lick themselves clean. Have you ever noticed that? Dogs like to shake off their dirt, but you'll never see a pig licking himself clean. Am I right about that? Pigs love dirt. I've seen all sort of cute little pigs. You know, people sometimes like to dress up pigs. You ever seen a dress pig? Sometimes they put nice clothes on them. I've even seen a pig with a bow tie. And sometimes they may even put lipstick on the poor little pig. He may be the best dressed pig, but if you ever let that pig loose and he sees mud, guess where he's going? That pig is going right into the mud. Why? Because you see, we clean the pig up on the outside, but the pig's nature was not changed. I want you to be with me this morning to understand this, that when God changed our nature, that was a dramatic thing. You see, sometimes I run into people who are afraid to become Christians because they're not sure they can keep up the Christian life. And guess what? You can't. In our old nature, we cannot keep the Christian life. But I'm so glad this morning that when Jesus saved us, he didn't just clean us up like we clean up the pig. He changed our nature. We have a brand new nature. We can make it. We can live the Christian life because the Spirit of God not only gave us a new nature, but He lives in us. He is resident in us. But this new nature is a game changer. But secondly, not only did the Lord give us a brand new nature, I want you to realize that regeneration opened the door to new possibilities for our lives. Wherever your past has been, whatever your past has been, I want you to realize that right now you have a spotless future. Let me say that again. Whatever your past has been, right now you have a spotless future. I know I'm speaking to individuals here this morning. Some of us have had backgrounds and we have histories that we are ashamed of, and sometimes if we're not careful, we allow our history to slow us down. But God wants you to know that right now you have a spotless future. And because of the fact that He has given you a brand new nature, the future is full of brand new possibilities. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24, it tells us to throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. And then here's what the Word of God says. It says, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly, what? Righteous and holy. This new nature that God has created in us, this new nature is created to be like God. It's truly righteous and holy. You can do it. You can make it because God has given you a brand new nature. In our Sunday school, adult Sunday school class this morning, the discussion had to do with David's sin. And what David's story helps us to realize that despite your history, despite how awful the sin you might have done in the past, that God is a God of the second chance. Somebody ought to say amen.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
God is the God of a second chance, and this morning you may have already had a second chance. This morning He's willing to give you a third chance because the door is wide open to new possibilities. Don't limit yourself. Your life has potential. Young person, it doesn't matter your background or your family history. You have tremendous potential. This regeneration is not only about giving you a new nature, but part of what God is about. He is giving you a life full of possibility. When we were teenagers, there was a couple who were shacking up. They had kids, they were shacking up. They didn't have jobs. They just were aimless life, just living for pleasure, living for fun. They got saved, and suddenly, both of them, but particularly the husband, both of them decided to throw off the old nature, as the verse says. You see, my friend, what I'm trying to get across to you, what the Spirit of God is trying to get across to us this morning, is that although regeneration gives you a life open to possibility, the ball is still in your court. God has opened the door. You got to walk through it. Amen. And so this young couple who were aimless and going absolutely nowhere, this young man, suddenly he realized that this new nature was full of possibility, and he decided to become passionate about the things of God. And young person, older person, would to God that every person who claims that they are believers in Jesus Christ would become passionate about the things of God. You see, where we mess up is that we sometimes, if we're not careful, let's be honest, sometimes we're so happy to be Christians, you just say, I'm saved and I know it. I'm on my way to heaven. But man, God didn't just save me to take me to heaven, man. God's got a plan. God's got a plan for me. In fact, one of the points I was going to make, and you can write it down right now, not only does regeneration give us a new nature, I intended to tell you that one of the things the Spirit of God did for us at salvation, He gifted us. And when God gifted us, He gifted us because He has given us a whole new agenda. He has given us, listen, let me put it this way. He has given us new purpose. The reason why God gave you spiritual gifts is because He has a brand new purpose for you. He has a kingdom agenda, a kingdom purpose for your life and your life and my life. Salvation gives us, He regenerates us, He gives us a new nature, but He also gifts us because He has a brand new purpose for us. And I'm not going to sit down and just drift on to heaven. I want to find out God's purpose for me. Amen. This man became passionate about the things of God. He decided he'd go and get an education. He did all the stuff. He just wanted to achieve God's potential for his life. I'm going to ask you, are you trying, are you seeking by God's grace to achieve God's potential for you? It's time that we have spiritual ambition and we say, God, I want to achieve everything that you saved me for. Oh, we feel so good because we are connected to some ministry. And we say, well, I'm not only saved, I'm doing something. But are you seeking by God's grace to achieve your full potential? God, you regenerated me. You gave me a new nature, but God, because of this regeneration, there is a brand new door of possibility. By God's grace, I'm going to seek to achieve what you have for me. What a tragedy that so many Christians have never achieved their potential. What a tragedy that churches are full of individuals who are saved, but that's all. May God challenge us this morning that we may seek to be all that God has saved us to be. But secondly, not only did God regenerate us, not only did the Holy Spirit regenerate us, but secondly, He baptized us. There's a lot of confusion about the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I preached at a church a few years ago, and the pastor told the crowd that 12 years after he received Christ as Savior, he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You see, some people believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a second blessing manifested by speaking in tongues. But there's no scriptural support for that. Now, I know there's some in our own congregation, you may have that position, but I just want you to know one of these days, you and I can sit and talk about it. But the Bible doesn't really support that there is any second blessing. You see, at salvation, the moment I was saved, I got all this stuff. He regenerated me. He gifted me. He filled me. Well, He didn't. The filling is a different issue. But He baptized us. Oh, my, I wish we had time to preach all the things that happened when salvation came. Can I share with you two purposes of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You may as well say yes, because I'm going to tell them anyway. Number one, the baptism of the Holy Spirit made us a new race. Here's what 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. At salvation, we are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. We become part of the church, but we often miss the fact that the church is a brand new race of people. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 says this: For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He what? He united Jews and Gentiles into what? Into one people, when in his own body on the cross he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by what? By creating in himself what? One new people from the two groups. Oh, I hope you got that. God has actually created a new race from the two groups, Jew and Gentile. He has formed one group. You see, in the world of the first century, there was no peace between Jews and Gentile. As far as Jews were concerned, Gentiles were created to fuel the fires of hell. That was the only purpose of a Gentile, to fuel the fire of hell. So, of course, if a Jew married a Gentile, the family held a funeral. For as far as that family was concerned, the fact that one of their members had married a Gentile, it's just as if their child was dead. And, of course, Gentiles had no love for Jews either. They regarded Jews as subhuman. And it's no wonder history is full of one Gentile nation after another who has oppressed the Jews. If you read history, you'll find that one group after another, the Egyptians, on and on it went, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. The Jews have been one oppressed people on a continual basis. It's one Gentile nation after another, until in our generation, we know what Hitler did. Gentile race. Some of us don't know you were Gentile. I'll never forget the first time I moved into the neighborhood we now live in years and years ago, but I'll never forget there are a lot of Jews in the neighborhood, and a Caucasian gentleman, as he saw me, he rushed to me and he said, "I am so glad there is another Gentile in the neighborhood." But you see, it's really two groups. Oh, we may classify ourselves in all sorts of ways, but it's really two groups. It was Jews and Gentiles. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit was a game changer. Because since the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there are no more just two races. There are three. There is the Jew, the Gentile, and the church. Paul recognized this when he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. Don't give offense to who? The Jews, one group. The Gentiles, another group. Or the church of God. The church is a brand new race made up of people from every kindred and tribe, united together by the Holy Spirit.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.